Before we climb on the bookshelf and start reading, congrats to our 5 Brain Junk Scrunchie winners.
Woohoo!
Allie P5683, Jay Gannon 03, Willie X274256. Okay, and this one is just a whole smush of letters.
I think it says Cthulhu.
Oh, it's like, it wanted to be Cthulhu, but that was taken. So they were like CHHJUFDXHJ and Sandra Lene.
Woohoo! Congratulations, everybody. We've searched Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook and couldn't find a few of you. You need those scrunchies. So if you winners haven't already heard from us, email to brainjunkpodcast@gmail.com. We want to send you a scrunchie.
Also, we've hit over 1,000 Brain Junkie downloads. Thank you so much. We've got some Brain Junk laptop stickers as a reward. Rating is great. We love those stars. Thank you, star givers. But reviewing us on iTunes is the only way we can track you down. Rating puts you in the running to be randomly chosen to win 1 of 10 stickers.
Thanks again, Brain Junkies. And now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Once upon a time, there was a podcast named Brain Junk. Hi, I'm Amy Barton.
And I'm Trace Kerr. A couple weeks ago, I was helping my parents and they were organizing their closets and cleaning things out. And my dad was chucking all these books off the bookshelf, putting them in the Go to Goodwill box. And I kept digging through them. I know. And I came across this set of encyclopedias called The Bookshelf for Boys and Girls. So I rescued the old encyclopedias from the donate box, especially because I remembered.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I remembered that you wanted to do an episode on books. Today, we are going to be flipping through those dusty pages to bring you everything you never knew you wanted to know about stuff from the bookshelf. So the first thing we're going to be talking about is from that bookshelf for boys and girls. And I came across an alphabet, one of those where they say U is for unicorn, A is for apple, that kind of thing. Well, this book was written in 1963. And what struck me was V. So V's the velocipede all of us like. And when we get older, we'll ride on a bike. First thought was, what the heck is a velocipede?
Mm-hmm. My brain's going Jurassic Park. I cannot picture one.
I know my husband was like, velocipede, is that like a dinosaur? Well, no. So I did this very unscientific survey of my parents and of my in-laws because I figured, okay, book came out in 1963. So someone who was in their 20s who would have a kid then, do they know what it is? Well, my dad and my mom and my father-in-law all said, is that a bicycle?
Ooh, they're smart.
Back in the early 1800s, before we started making bicycles, we made, it looked like a bicycle, except it didn't have any pedals on it. The name velocipede comes from velox for swift and ped for foot. So swift foot. So you'd sit on this thing. In fact, they're coming back now. You see little kids on the tiny wooden bicycles with no pedals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going along because we found that you actually learn better without the pedals. Well, before we had the chain gear system, we had velocipedes. By the time my parents were kids, we hadn't really used the word velocipede in a long time, but my dad, I mean, right off the gate, he was like, oh, well, that's a bicycle that doesn't have any pedals because that's easier to learn. And then when you know how to ride, then you get a bicycle with pedals.
Excellent. I should have made the connection. I took French and Velo as bicycle.
That's okay.
But
it's all right. I know that's what Chaz said. He was like, oh, isn't that bicycle? That's how he knew what it was. But...
oh, well, Jurassic Park's still in the front of my brain more than Velo is, unfortunately. Or fortunately. I don't know. I like a good dinosaur.
We've talked about 1963 and kid stuff. You had a book that you wanted to talk about, Snow White.
Oh, yes. And I'm going to take us back to 1946. And it's got some of those wonderful black and red illustrations. It's Snow White. And the illustrator is Ninon McKnight, N-I-N-O-N. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm sorry, but I'm guessing it's old enough that the illustrator's not going to dispute it.
Oh, are you seriously pulling that he's probably dead so it doesn't matter card?
Yes, I am. They don't even credit the author of the story, although I think this is an 18th century German tale. My favorite part, though, as a modern adult, is that in this version of the story, the princess, she eats the poison apple. She becomes unconscious. The prince is distraught. And in the, I think the movie came out in 37, the Disney movie. But in the other versions of Snow White that you hear about, the prince kisses her and she awakens. And that is the, oh, that's how it works in fairy tales. Well, in this version, he's just sad she died. And so he does not assault her. There's no, like... And you hear it, you know, when you hear modern and more feminist perspectives, like, why do all these, they have to be rescued, there's kissing while they're unconscious, and the kissing now, if you were telling somebody, he kissed me while I was unconscious, and then I filed a police report, that's how that story ends. And so I liked this version, because what he does in this version is he asks them to take her in her beautiful glass coffin, and he wants to take her to the castle to be near him. And so they put her on the cart, and they're hauling her there, and she's jostled, and the apple pops out of her throat, and she slowly gains consciousness, and she's like, oh, what's going on? So that's how it happens. There's no unconscious kissing. It's lovely.
This is in 1946, but yep. this is a Me Too Snow White.
That's right. She's Me Too Snow White. And it specifically says in the book that he asks her to be his forever, and she consents. They use the word consent in this version of the story.
Nice. Where did we get lost in the 50s, 60s, 70s? And, you know, all got twisted.
It derailed a little there. Yep. Yep. The ending of this one is suitably gruesome. If you've ever read any Grimm's, when my kids were little, I hadn't read any Grimm. I had the Disney version of fairy tales. So we got these British podcasts with the real Grimm fairy tales. Yep. The one where the princesses have their toes cut off in Cinderella.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the glass slipper, because the two stepsisters are trying to get into those shoes.
That's like Dexter's version.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, it's horrifying. So I had not had those versions of the fairy tales before. So this one ends. It's of that sort. It talks about how when the wicked queen asks who's the fairest of them all and finds out it's not her, she utters a curse and she's beside herself with rage and mortification. This is a children's book and they use the word mortification. And I like that. This
nice.
Is for the intelligent child. So she decides to attend the wedding, as all evil, wicked stepmothers do.
Of course.
They're going to come and ruin the final bash. But this charming prince and Snow White, who has consented to love him and marry him forever, have prepared for this potential eventuality with red hot iron shoes. She is made to get into them and dance until she falls down dead. And they lived happily ever after.
Oh my gosh.
This is sort of a war era book. A little dark then.
It's kind of hardcore.
It is.
I guess just thinking of my children and reading them bedtime stories and the nightmare fuel that would be ending. I mean, yeah, okay, it ends happily, but not for the witch. And that's your last. I mean, that's like the last
literally
two paragraphs.
The last thing. The last words are, she danced till she fell down dead.
Oh, God.
There's no the end. There's no, that's it.
Moral of the story.
Sleep tight, kids.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Click, light off.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, you know, one story of doom and gloom at the end deserves another story of doom and gloom at the end. I have a book here, The American Heritage Cookbook and Illustrated. Oh, my gosh, it goes on forever. An Illustrated History of American Eating and Drinking. I don't want to talk about a recipe exactly. What I want to talk to you about is a book that they reference, Advice of the Emigrant's Guide to California by Joseph E. Ware. And that book was written, it was a pamphlet, written in 1849. And what's so cool about this is that it reminded me of how, okay, so we talked about stuff that sounded false but was actually true.
Yes.
And in order to get to that, we had to wade through a lot of misinformation that was on the internet. And this pamphlet is 1849's version of misinformation. You know, that people were getting this and they're like, okay, we're going to go out west and we're going to dig for gold and we're taking the family. And this thing told you what food you needed to pack for the journey across the United States.
That's something you'd want to know from an expert.
And it was completely wrong.
Oh, no.
Yes. So what he was telling people they would need for each person in your party, you'd need a barrel of flour.
So
plus
my four-person family, barrels.
Four barrels of flour plus 150 to 180 pounds of bacon per person.
Oh, heaven. So we're talking 600 pounds of bacon now for my family.
Yep. 25 pounds of coffee.
Okay, that's low.
Yeah. You're like, well, that would get us like a week. 40 pounds of sugar, 20 pounds of rice, 60 pounds of peas or beans, and 30 to 40 pounds of dried peaches, as well as molasses, vinegar, and a keg of beef suet as a substitute for butter. And that was like your minimum thing that you needed on the wagon.
Okay.
And what they found was that people were getting in about 600 miles into the journey, and their animals were dying because they had so much weight, they couldn't pull it. In fact, they said that at Fort Laramie, which was about 600 miles into the journey, people mm-hmm. were stopping. And one traveler said that there was a pile of not less than 30,000 pounds of bacon.
Right next to the yep. dead oxen?
And
the dead.
Yep. And people were leaving dried beef and salt and hardtack. They're just chucking it because
wow.
they couldn't bring it with them.
Holy cats.
I can only imagine how much Fort Laramie smelled.
Oh, yeah.
You know, here comes another wagon train. I can imagine the guys are like, great, more bacon. Fantastic.
Yeah. Maybe we'll make quiche today. It's going to be great.
The one thing that, well, and this is kind of a sidetrack, but I'm going to mention it anyways. My mother-in-law, Mary, is not an outdoorsy person. She, you know, okay. I've often said that I think she was born in the wrong era. She should have been mm-hmm. born in the Victorian era because mm-hmm. put her in a nice sunny solarium with a cup of tea doing her needlework. That's her jam.
Yes.
Which is great. Every once in a while, apropos of nothing, we'll just be sitting there having Thanksgiving dinner or something, and she'll say, can you imagine being in a wagon train? Do you know why there are towns out in the middle of nowhere? Because some woman, pregnant, she's got other mm-hmm. kids, she finally said, we're done.
Yep.
Build a house, I'm finished. And they're out in the middle of Kansas or somewhere, and there's nothing nearby, and she's just like, that's it, we're through.
There's probably a house next to the 30,000 pounds of bacon.
Some enterprising lady was like, we're going to stop and we're going to sell some of this. I feel as though we've gotten way off track and that perhaps...
This is the joy of books, friends.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, you're not just like, what is it? I don't know. Look it up. Done. We're having a conversation about mm-hmm. it and we're going places. And maybe we need to have a podcast episode about what exactly life was like from both sides. You know, you got people mm-hmm. that are traveling across. What about the people that were already there who were like, why are y'all coming up in here? Because we own this already and we don't need more people here.
Right.
Especially you all. Okay.
I am super excited about this textbook. My mother is what one would term a beautician. She will, if you ask her what she did before she started staying home with kids, she was a beautician. Mm. And now, I don't actually ever remember what they're called. Now, it's the hair lady.
Well, you're like a hairdresser. You're
yes, there we go. That's the word.
Yeah, hairdresser.
People get insulted when I call them a beautician because that is not a thing anymore. At least not.
That's like when you call somebody, wait, it's not a stewardess. No.
Right. It's a flight attendant.
It's a flight attendant. Yes.
Exactly.
I did that once. I almost got tossed off a plane.
My mom won't toss you out of her house.
Okay,
she'll
that's
still
good.
Be a beautician. She can give you a mean perm.
Oh, there you go. She'd
yes.
be like, I'm not a beautician. And what is up with those split ends?
She's going to cut you in a mullet. We're going to get the perm with the poodle mullet. I did have that. Folks, maybe we'll post a picture. Esther's School of Beauty Culture.
Esther.
Through the standard textbook of cosmetology, taught my mom to do those things that we all wanted in the 80s. But this is her textbook, and I adore this book very much. It's got every woman in here has a really pointy bra. It's terrific. And she's got her hair on point. Super flipped. Like this has from her chin line is where the flip starts and it goes all the way up to like her eye. That's like a 4 or 5 inch flip. It's good. But that's not really what I wanted to tell you about. We're going to have a whole episode coming up on beauty and I'm excited about that too.
Yeah.
But what I love about this textbook, there's a lot of things that I love, but I really enjoy the things. So it's from 1967. All right. One of my favorite chapters in here is chapter 3. And this chapter is regarding visual poise.
Oh, okay.
So I would like you to stand up. If you're in a motor vehicle, please do not stand up. You're just going to have to envision this, and maybe you don't even do that. Concentrate on the road. For the basic stance, I want you to turn the left foot out at a 45-degree angle. Okay?
Okay, I've
got
it.
You got a slight tilt. You got a little triangle there.
Yep.
Point your right foot straight ahead on a straight line. Then bend your right knee slightly over the line of the left knee. And my knees are pointing different directions now, so I just bent my... I just got a jaunty tilt to my right knee now. And you're going to flex your left knee slightly. Okay?
So you're almost kind of like leaning... I imagine that this is a position for heels. Does it tell you that you're supposed to have heels on?
She's got a low heel. We're working ladies. We're
I know, but you still need that calf muscle to pop, right? You know? And so that's
exactly.
what you're... So you're leaning back on that right one to be like, bam, look at my calf muscle.
Precisely. So this now, this stance that you have attained, this basic stance will give body balance and be graceful to the eye.
I feel as though I need to put on some pearls while I'm standing in this position. Like, you know, like I'm just not rocking it in my t-shirt over here. I'm not stepping up.
But I do like it. You feel like you're leaning in a little, like, hello there.
Oh, yes.
It's wonderful. There's chapter 4 is personality development. Talks about desirable qualities to develop. And I love all of these. I would probably just read this textbook to you guys, but that's going to take some time. It's fat. But the desirable qualities for cosmetologists to cultivate in 1967 included attitude, behavior, thinking. My personal favorite is emotional stability. And I'm going to read you a chunk of this. Mm. A good personality has no room for such a character weakness as emotional instability. Realize what a great beautifier serenity is and strive for emotional balance. If you want to be admired, develop the qualities of character that command respect, chief among them being emotional stability. Learn to suppress the signs that betray emotions, such as facial expressions or gestures of anger, impatience, envy, or greed. Do not grab that cash, ladies. You let it sit there on the counter. That makes me so happy. No gesturing rudely.
You know, but that, and then also it's that concealing, that just sounds like a recipe for all the alcoholism and drug use that we had, you know, that you're not going to talk about the stuff that's negative. You know, you're there to be beautiful. You're there to stand with your right hip poking out with your pearls on, and
you're beautiful, poised and fabulous. And you're going to do that to them too.
Wow.
It's good. It's one of my favorite parts. There is a personality quiz in here. I will post it.
Excellent.
To brainjunkpodcast.com.
So you can take your personality quiz and find out what kind of... Well, is it...
Yeah.
Is it a... These are the things about you that you need to fix?
Yeah. Or... There's a first question they gender define. So girl, do you give careful attention to personal grooming, such as clothes, hair, makeup, hose, and shoes? Oh, ladies.
No.
Pantyhose.
No.
Oh, boy. Young men, do you give careful attention to personal grooming, such as clothes, hair, shave, mustache, hair in the nose, socks and shoes? Okay, at least we can have really shaggy nose hair.
I can get
good news, ladies. Yep. This is a wonderful textbook. Someday, when we do like whatever podcast tour that people do gigs, we can just bring our books and you can look through them with us together. Because this one is fun. I will bring it. So if you ever see us in person, I can just always carry this. And if it's awkward, we'll flip through this book because it's terrific.
Okay, so I have to, we have to wind up with, though, what you showed me on the back cover.
Oh.
So how old was your mom when she was, so this is cosmetology
school? My mom would not
school?
Want you to know how old she was in 67.
Okay, so let's just say that she was probably a young, eligible lady.
Yep.
Okay.
So this would be like her freshman year of college.
Okay.
And in the back of the textbook, my mom and dad dated through high school. And then they had like those, we're out of high school and we're on and off again. But this was definitely on again because there's Rob written in lots of different fonts, Rob and Kathy. It's terrific. I might post a picture of this.
We're going
too.
To post a picture of that because it kind of reminds
me
of,
happy.
You know, when you, well, not all of us did this, but you have someone that you're interested in. And so you're writing your name with their last name, or you're writing, and I also like the fact that this cosmetology book is all about being refined and manners and being all super polite and kind of stilted almost. You know, you're being I wouldn't say a caricature of, but they're like, this is the kind of person you need to be. And yet in the back, she's still her. She's like, I'm writing his name. Is it cursive? Is it bold print? And I just love him.
It's perfect. Yes. Because she tends to be a little reserved. And so this is a very fun thing to see. If I have a tip jar in front of me at our someday podcast events, you can know that my mom heard this and wrote me out of the will. And so I'm saving up. Let's hope. Mom is gracious, too. She read this textbook. She's going to disguise their emotion and not gesture rudely at me. So,
right.
That's a win.
Maybe you'll get it in a nicely worded letter.
Tersely, but nicely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So these are the power of books, guys. You know, I mean, I love the internet. I like searching. I like looking for different things. I like researching. But I don't know about you, Amy, but I found digging through all these books, because you had a lot of different books. And
I have a whole trunk full right now. I brought four in.
And being at my parents and looking through books and finding things like, we hadn't gone to the moon yet. And they're talking about, are we going to do that? And they're talking about science in ways that we know the answers to the questions that they were talking about. it's kind of fun. It's kind of fascinating. So you get a chance to walk into a dusty old bookstore, you know?
Yep. Relive those days when your two other sisters were ostracizing you, so you went to the books.
Okay, I feel like we're getting a little...
We've wandered down a path here. Books are great! Visit us at brainjunkpodcast.com. We've got a lot of fun stuff on the website, including some links to the... we'll have pictures for this one. I don't have any links. This is paper, friends. But we're going to have lots of fun pictures of our book. For this and other wonderful episodes, look for Brain Junk wherever you find your podcasts, like iTunes and Google Play Store. If you're into pictures, you can find us on Instagram at Brain Junk Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at My Brain Junk.
Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know, and I guarantee you will not be bored.